beginning at 8 a.m. May 15th on WPFW, Radio for the Resistance.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I
okay,
do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell. I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
And welcome to you every Tuesday at this time here on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. I want to thank everybody who's been listening and supporting us. We are in our annual drive, our spring drive, and we need your help. But we'll get to that a little later. We open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Good morning. I have some bad news, but I'll say that in a moment. D.C. police formed new unit of detectives to focus on youth crime. The initiative is part of a broader effort to reduce recidivism. D.C. Police Chief Pamela Smith said at a news conference a few weeks ago, D.C. police are launching a new unit focused on youth crime, officials said, bringing detectives and investigators across the city together to strengthen the department's approach to juvenile justice, even as offenses involving youth and young people recede. The crime rate for young people has been going down, but yet they're focusing and targeting on youth. Police Chief Smith said at a news conference that the initiative is part of a broader focus on young people that seeks to reduce recidivism, which is at the rate at which those who have been arrested commit additional crimes. Jobs reduce recidivism. Social services reduce recidivism. If the crime rate is going down for juveniles, why are you going to focus and target on them as opposed to mentioning what the real cause of this is? Socioeconomic conditions. Jobs reduce crime. The new phone scam impacting incarcerated individuals. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has been alerted of a scam impacting incarcerated individuals and their families where callers are identifying themselves as Federal Bureau of Prison employees to secure money for community placement services. The Federal Bureau of Prison will not contact individuals to request personal information or money. Also, there appears to be other scams affecting incarcerated individuals and their families. Specifically, callers are identifying themselves as Federal Bureau of Prisons Reentry Division Services to gain personal information or money for early release or community placement services. Individuals who are contacted by persons purporting to be employees of the Federal Bureau of Prisons requesting money or compensation should report these calls to the Federal Trade Commission at their phone number. Learn more about the signs of a scam. You can go to our website and learn more about this particular piece. Layoffs, closures, and gaps in oversight expected after hundreds of Department of Justice grants are canceled. And believe me, Martina and I are included in this whole grant thing. A deaf mother trying to escape her abusive husband came to a domestic violence shelter seeking help, but she couldn't communicate fluently with American Sign Language. Shelter workers contacted Activating Change, a group that provides sign language interpreters who are trained to help people experiencing trauma. Over the course of the year in the shelter, the woman worked with the interpreter to file for divorce, gain custody of her children, and heal. Activating Change, which helps people with disabilities navigate the criminal justice system, was one of hundreds of organizations that received a notice on April 22nd that the Department of Justice was canceling grants they had received through the Office of Justice Program. More than 350 grants initially worth more than $800 million were ended midstream, sparking layoffs and program closures across the country. This move by President Trump is impacting returning citizens programs all over the country. And as I said previously, one of our programs, or two of our programs, has been cut. So, Martine, now we've been thrown under the bus along with everybody else. So we got to figure out what we can do to pay our bills. But we'll work it out some kind of way. But what's happening all across the country, justice impact programs for affected men, women, and kids have been slashed, deleted, curtailed, and eliminated. So, folks, this is no joke. This is really some serious, serious stuff. And lastly, a grandmother was found shot to death in Maryland over the weekend, Saturday. And believe me, it was my niece. One of my cousin's daughters, she was 54 years old and a grandmother. She was babysitting four kids. Somehow, she was shot sitting in a table in the kitchen over in Landover, Maryland over the weekend. And she was 54 years old. Her name is Reverend Leslie Davis. And we went over there Saturday, and it hurt. I mean, she's a grandmother sitting at a table, babysitting four kids, her grandkids, and she gets killed. They don't know who done it, and they're still investigating it, but our heart and prayers go down. This is the sixth person in my family who died due to gun violence. We got to do something, folks, because this is just too much. And lastly, there's a gentleman traveling around the country who discovered poetry while on death row from 1967 to 72 when he was released. He's turning 80. He's doing an octogenarian tour around the country focused on justice and incarceration. His name is Kitu Oladuwa, and he'll be at the Peterbug Amphitheater May 17th at 502 Peterbug Matthews Way, May 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. Go check him out. He's an interesting brother. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. And I send our blessings out to my little niece, Reverend Leslie Davis, who was killed Saturday, Mother's Day Eve. And we were on our way over there. In fact, we went over there, and they were waiting for the coroner to come in and do what he had to do. So to the family, to Leslie's kids, grandkids, and great-grands, they love you, we miss you, and stay safe, young lady. We hope this kind of violence stop, because it is impacting every family all kinds of ways. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Now we'll get to what we talked about. If you remember, for folks who are listening, who've been following Crossroads, every few months we do what's called Going Down Memory Lane. This talk about D.C. then and D.C. now. And our two panelists have both passed away. Sandra Butler Truth. Boy, Mike, I'm going to put you on this show. Boy, I'm telling you. I took some of that, Prevagen. I went and got some Prevagen. I've been having problems remembering and seeing and thinking stuff. So I went and got two bottles of Prevagen, took it for 2 days. And on the third day, I forgot where the heck I put it. The stuff don't work. I mean, I forget my own name. So getting old is, they don't tell you about these kind of things. So I stopped taking Prevagen. I went and got some Ginkgo biloba. Took that for 2 weeks. And riding up the street, and they pulled me over. The cop asked for my ID and my name, and I forgot my name. I couldn't get it out. So this is one of those things that you go through if you're getting up there in a young age. So Kenny Brown's up there smiling, but that ain't no smiling joke when you can't remember your own name. So our show this morning is going down get memory lane. And our two guests was Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale and Steve Fitzbolton. They were both our panelists for the past 6 years. We come to you every month. So now we got Kenny Brown, who's still the last remaining soldier. And he's joined by Mr. Raymond Savoy, another D.C. native, fourth, fifth generation. And Ray Bennett and Kenny and I, we grew up in Washington when we were segregated. So we know how the city was from segregation to integration to what's going on right now. So good morning to Kenny Brown and Raymond Savoy. Are you gentlemen there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And thank you both for joining. I mean, when it dawned on me that both of y'all is older than me, man. Yeah, we grew up in Washington, D.C. during the time when the...
I mean, at 20 after.
Which one are you hooked to?
Hello.
Yeah, my brother.
Probably Hayes is number T-Mobile.
Hey, we got some interference coming in.
Which one do I want to do?
So good morning, Kenny Brown and Ray Savoy. Ray Savoy is a gentleman, folks, who is off the chain. He's a native Washingtonian, one of eight children. He grew up attending Catholic schools, always excelling in sports. Ray played basketball, football, baseball, golf, and he was signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team in 62 and played for 4 years. He founded the Langston Junior Golf Club in 1990 and the Senior Swingers. Ray has been a professional golfer with the United States Golf Teachers Federation.
Yeah.
Ray was named the living legend by the Pigskin Club of Washington, D.C., and was hosted by President Obama, along with fathers from all over the country that were recognized for being wonderful fathers. Ray was inducted into the District of Columbia State Athletic Association in a Hall of Fame, along with former coach John Thompson of Georgetown University. Good morning, Ray Savoy. Thank you for agreeing to join us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning to all.
And Kenny Brown.
Good morning, Martine and Roach.
And good morning. As we said at the top of the show, we do this every few months. We look at what's going on in D.C. now and what's going on, or what was going on in D.C. back in the day when we were little youngsters doing segregation. And Kenny, I just want to start off and say that what's going on now with the current administration, it reminds me of being in segregated Washington, because I feel some of the same vibes, some of the same rules and policies are coming down that restrict, denied, and prevented us from exercising our constitutional rights to just be basic human beings and good citizens.
I concur with you, Roach, 1,000%. And I didn't mean to ignore you, Ray. Good morning, Ray Savoy.
Okay.
Same to you, my brother.
My good friend, Roach, I was thinking about the same thing this morning about segregation, integration, and assimilation. Okay, because a lot of folks got confused thinking coming out of segregation meant integration, but what they really wanted was assimilation, not realizing by trying to assimilate to the other culture, it was hurting our culture. I remember how, and even today, people like you and me, we like to get dressed up. So we like to go downtown and buy our clothes, but 50, 60 years ago, we couldn't go into a store like Bruce Hunt and see a Black salesman. Julius Hobson organized a boycott. I didn't know what a boycott was. My father explained it to me. He said, I can go in this store and buy my Dobbs hats, my nice suits, but they do not have any Black employees. And Julius Hobson organized a boycott that made Bruce Hunt hire Black salesmen. The first salesman there was a guy named Mr. Thornton. And I thought about that. And then my mother chimed in about a store called Garfinkel's, very famous store in Washington, D.C. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis shopped there on a regular basis, where Blacks could not shop in Garfinkel's. My mother worked there, Roach, in the tea room. They were not allowed on any other floor in that store. And this is what's called segregation. Now, we wanted to assimilate and spend our money there, but our dollar would go but so far. So if you're going to take your money to the large white establishments, what happens to the stores and companies that were founded by Blacks? There's a repercussion of that sometime. But I remember that well, that part of segregation.
You know, one of the things you just mentioned, Kenny, about going into Garfinkel's, what was also prevalent during that time, when you go into Garfinkel's, you could not try on a hat, a coat or pants. If you tried on a hat or the clothes, you had to buy them, take them home, and bring them back if it didn't fit. So this kind of thing is on its way back in. Ray Savoy,
yes,
you grew up in Washington, D.C., and you're just like me and my wife. We both come from big, large family. We had eight brothers and sisters. My wife had eight brothers and sisters, and you had eight. And you came up during the same time that we did, Ray. You were building at Langston Golf Course, which was segregated again, I believe, back in the day, or it was very restricted. What do you say about that, Ray Savoy?
Yeah, back then, was restricted, but the land was given to Blacks back in 1932 as a place to come and play the game of golf. Back during that time, they had segregated golf courses, and they couldn't go down to East Potomac to play. But the only thing they could do was to what they call shag balls. In other words, catch the balls or hunt them down and get a little fee for doing that for somebody who was practicing. I do remember the time where you would dress up and go downtown, but it's true what Kenny was saying about different places that that you couldn't you might be able to walk in, but you couldn't sit down. So it was things, that were places that you couldn't sit down at the counters and so forth. The H Street community was a place where you could go and go down to Burt's and all, get your clothing and so forth. And it was a time that you would spend your money there, you might say. And you had, say, a black face that would wait on you. But during my time and tenure, even in the professional career with the Pittsburgh Pirates, there were places that I traveled to during the baseball time frame where I couldn't get off the bus. Or if I got off the bus, I had to stay on this side of the street while they walked on the other side of the street. So it is a unique experience, a experience I would never forget, and that would teach the young people that I work with that back then there were times where they couldn't do certain things. But nowadays, they have to bring them up to date that they have the right and privilege of being able to travel, go, and participate. So it's very unique and very rewarding at the same time. Our program that I work with or been involved in since basically 1989, but formed the Langston Junior program in 1994, got our credentials and things that was necessary. And we developed that program, plus we developed a scholarship program for our youth to continue their education, those that desire to. And if we were able to extend a helping hand up, not a helping hand out.
Yes, yes. You know, Ray, I'm glad you said that. Kenny Rayan used to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but he's also a master golfer, a master golf teacher. I was released one year, and he sent me over to Langston Golf Course to get a job as a caddy. I weighed about 105 or 110 pounds. The bag and the clubs weighed more than I did. And when I saw them guys hit that ball a half a football field away, then you got to walk, carry that big bag, and then hit the ball again. After the third hole, I dropped the bag, and I told the man, y'all can keep this. I'll go back to jail. This was too much work to walk too long, too far for a little tin and white ball that we had to look around and try to find it. Then they give you 25 or 50 cent and rub your head and say, have a good day. Yeah. Those kind of days, those are the things we went through, and it seems though that we're approaching this same stuff again. I ride around the town, my wife and I, and it used to be called, as everybody knows, Chocolate City. It's called Chocolate Chip now, and there's no place to go. And I got a booklet, Kenny, on my desk right now that was given to me by the Howard University School of Business, and he did it in 1969. Chuck's and Billy's gave me this book, and it listed all of the black businesses in Washington, D.C. in 1969. And there were over 2,393 black-owned businesses in 2,393 in 1969. And now we're down to less than 25 or even lower than that. What happened? We don't have no restaurants. We don't have no bars, no beaches. We used to go to Carl's Beach, Sparrow Beach, Marshall Hall, all these kind of places to enjoy ourselves. We don't have nothing now. What do you have, what do both of you have to say about the status of things now for Black cultural and social events for us? Wait a minute, but before you answer that, let me do this. We're going to throw the show to our pitch partner, Mayuki Wills. This is a spring fund drive. And Mayuki, we will come in and do her pitch. Good morning, Mayuki.
It's our pitch. Good morning. How are you doing? Merry Christmas, Roach, Martine, Nikichi, and your wonderful guests. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much for Crossroads. It's unique.
Before you start, I'm sorry, I forgot my co-host. She's sitting right here on the screen, Nikichi. Good morning, Nikichi, for joining us. I'm so sorry, young lady.
You always forget about me, Roach Brown. Always.
I did.
But I don't do it on purpose. Don't blame it on my heart. Blame it on my pocketbook.
It's all good. Let's
hey, come on. All right, come on, Nikichi.
And the great team here, they have a goal of $500 that we have to reach between now and 11 o'clock. We can do that. Only with your help. This is a relationship that is two-way. Radio is absolutely two-way. They are delivering information, news that you can use, giving a spotlight on information that you would not otherwise get. And you're listening, and you're benefiting, and you're learning, and you're growing. And so part of your contribution to all this is by making a contribution to the station. WPFW is a member-supported radio station. There are no commercials. We have no partnerships with any universities. We don't are not underwritten by any corporations. You, the listener, are our sole source of support. And so without you, we can't be here. Please, if you're out there, you're listening, if you love Roach Brown, Martine, and Nikichi, please just take a moment. Think about how often you listen. Think about how many times a smile is brought to your face, or maybe a tear to your eye, or something that has tugged you or informed you or illuminated something for you. And make a pledge of support. Think about just giving $12.50 a month. $12.50 through the course of a month is a parking. It is a croissant and a coffee. It is not, it's a small investment. We're asking you to sacrifice or to just fast on one of those and give those to WPFW once a month. That turns out to be $150 per year. If five people did that, Roach, Martine, and Nikichi would be way over goal. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. If you're listening on the web, you can go to WPFWFM.org, go to the Donate Now button. If you have Cash App is just $WPFWFM, or you can text WPFWFM to 801-801. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to share your monies with WPFW. Please do so. Please help us get this goal. Let's go back to this engaging conversation about memory, and I trust that I'll be able to thank you all soon. 202-588-9739.
I just want to say,
I just made a donation,
and
challenge all Native Washingtonians out there, because I am a Native Washingtonian as well, to come on and donate to this radio show. I mean, I grew up in segregated Washington too, but you know, Kenny and Ray and Roach and Martine, I didn't even know it was segregated at the time. All I know is I said, mommy, I want to go to Glen Echo. I want to go to the amusement park. And I didn't understand why my mother said we could not go to Glen Echo amusement park. And I didn't find out too much later. It's because it was segregated. And there's a film, a documentary that recently came out called Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round, talking about the whole struggle as part of the D.C. Maryland Civil Rights Movement to desegregate Glen Echo Amusement Park. And we're talking about back in the early 60s. So go on, back to y'all.
You said that, Nikichi, because the first time I ever got knocked out, it was when I went to Glen Echo. We saw it on TV, Channel 5, looking at a guy called Pick Temple.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you telling your age,
Nikichi. I remember Pick Temple because there was a little black boy who was on Pick Temple, and they asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the little black boy said, I want to be a white man.
That's right.
I ain't as young as y'all think I am now.
Like I said, the first time I got knocked out, we saw the commercial. Me and a couple of buddies went up to Glen Echo. We put our little quarter up there, and he said, you can't come in. We said, why? And he said, because you were in. And when he said it, it was like a smack in the face. I said, man, we just want to ride the merry-go-round. Mm. He whistled, and two white guys came out from the back, and they grabbed us in the kitchen. And that was one of the first whippings I've gotten, that they beat us unmercifully up there. We had to run across. It was a trestle with a streetcar rolled up part of the way up there. And we got on this trestle, we rode, and they ran us all the way back down to Georgetown. I mean, that was the first time I ever got knocked out and whipped. And because I just wanted to ride the merry-go-round up in
Glen Echo.
Glen Echo. See, I just get so, baby, things are changing.
Well, they're changing back because they're trying to erase our history, and they're trying to give reparations to the white folk who caused all this mess in the first place. Something like with this picture that's going on up here today.
Look what happened yesterday. They brought in 60 South Africans. Mm-mm-mm. From South Africa was refugees.
White South Africans. White South Africans.
Yeah, they brought them over because they're being discriminated against and being run into racism. What about the discrimination that we ain't counting over here?
Right.
We going through daily, and we don't get a special flight. They're getting all kinds of financial support, assistance, money, homes, relocation assistance. D.C. spent over $15 billion to relocate the migrants when they came to the city. There's companies like Amazon and Costco. They're getting $4, $5, $8 billion in federal subsidies from the federal government. But we, as citizens here in Washington, D.C., and other blacks across the country, we've been asking for reparations for over 100 years. We still ain't got it. Yeah. And yet they can bring somebody in it because Elon Musk is a South African. Trump stopped all refugees coming in except that there's 60 people from South Africa. So Elon Musk had something to do with it because he's putting in his money. And he's bringing in 60 people, kids, et cetera. And they're getting everything they need free. What about us here in America? What about, I read at the top of the show about the police chief coming after the juveniles in terms of stop recidivism. These kids need help. They need money. They need jobs. They need social services assistance. Our folks need it. Why don't we reach outside to somebody else, and we can't get it here in our own country? Go ahead, Nikita. You wanted to say something.
Well, no, I'm just agreeing with everything that you're saying and just really just shaking my head in complete disgust. I mean, people saying they're coming after everybody. We can't let them come after this radio station, you know, because we need to be able to keep this information going and flowing. You know, we like Roach, you always say, well, what are we going to do? We got to do something.
We got to do something.
Now, we can't just let this okie doke.
Jiggy boogie.
That's why we're trying to come up with this jiggy boogie going. Yeah.
You know, it's up to us. Dr. Calvin Rudolph used to say that if it is to be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
If we're going to make a change, it's up to us. Folks, Trump is doing us a favor. With all the policies he's coming down with his shopping and the executive orders, this should be forcing us to get closer together to coordinate. We had somebody sent this the other day that every Wednesday starting tomorrow, it's going to be Black Wednesday, asking everybody not to buy nothing from nowhere. Anything you need, gas, food, medicine, whatever, get it on Tuesday or Thursday. Starting tomorrow, every Wednesday, we should show Black support that we only buy from Black businesses. And on that Wednesday, we don't buy from nobody. Just stop. We got to make our presence felt. They did it with the Safe Bus Company down in North Carolina. They did it with things all across the country, man. They make things, hopefully, try to get to be more realistic. Ray Savoy, I take my hat off to you, man. I've been knowing you for a long time. And you've been on that golf course, man, teaching young kids how to play golf, elders try to play golf. And I ride by there now, and all I see is white people on the golf course.
It's a change. It's a change that has taken over. And like I said, in the past, we could not play golf down at the East Potomac golf course, but
because
through the grace of God and people who had a desire to play the game, they petitioned the Park Service, the Federal Park Service to grant land, which was given to Blacks, like I say, at the Langston Golf Course, which was once an old dump.
Well, I didn't know that.
It was a dump, and they had to build it up, and they only had 9 holes of golf at that time. That's why it's so important to me and the folks that help volunteer to work with these young people to talk to them about the history of the golf course and the importance of getting their education. It's been more or less of a beautiful reward to me mentally, because I see as young people go off to college, come back, and be willing to help others to progress. We have a model there, is respect of self, respect of others. And you've mentioned about how the police chief have formed groups to corral or detain these young people.
Young people, yes.
Hopefully we do our message of the game of golf, but we teach a little more than the game of golf. We talk to them about life and the struggles that they possibly would face and how to handle these struggles, trials and tribulations. And it's been a blessing for me to see how they have grown. And thanks to the volunteers that I have working with the program, I've been blessed that we do not pay a dime to any of our volunteers or even our board members or staff. We all do it voluntarily, and I've seen in my mind's eye the blessings that the Lord has given the people that has participated, looking for the progress of our kids and not the financial benefits for themselves.
Let me ask you this, Ray. You got several programs over at the Langston Golf Course over on Benning Road. You got one program to deal with kids, introducing kids to golf, and they get, tell us a little bit about that program.
That's probably coming, they call the Jack Vodeman program, where they got youth who actually do educational drills and things and go out on the golf course, but they also receive a salary or stipend for being there at the golf course during that time frame. I've worked myself with kids from the youth program over there on Minnesota Avenue, that they have youth employment program. I've taken some of their youth in our program at Langston, and we provided them an opportunity to work with other youth, but also receive a salary at the given time. And I agree with you that you said that the people need jobs. They need some financial support.
Yes, yes.
Eliminate some of the struggles and problems that they might have. And through allowing them to be employed and receiving some type of salary, it is very important that we continue and try to do this and promote it. It is a blessing for me to be there and watch these kids grow and develop. And like I said, I always give thanks and blessings to the volunteers and staff that work the program there at the Langston Golf Course. But must maintain that doing golf is one thing, but educating our young people is another task. So that's where we're at, and that's how we proceed.
Okay, let me throw this out for our guests. Since both of y'all and I grew up doing segregated washing like 50, 60 years ago, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen from then to now in today's world? Kenny Brown?
Well, Roach, first thing I want to say is, and Ray touched on a lot of it, when I talk about Langston, I want to talk about the academic component that Ray has put in place over there, and how many kids have come out of his program, have gone on to finish high school and go to college. But one of the biggest changes I see is the lack of educating our youth coming behind us. You just misspoke when you said we did this for 60 years. All of us are 80 years old.
That means
80 years old and still mentoring people like you do, Roach. Your brother Ray was one of my mentors. The Savoy family is legendary, not just in this city, but all around these United States, because we mentored people and we volunteered. Yeah. What I see now is our people sitting back complaining and not doing what you said earlier, Roach. We got to help each other, period. It starts with us. And I was at a seminar where an attorney stood up and said, please, people in the federal government, don't retire. Don't take the buyout package. What this president is doing is illegal, and his way of doing things is, I'm going to do it until you tell me I can't. So now those folks took the buyout package and finding out from their agencies that it was illegally done and they can come back to work. They start from ground zero in terms of retirement and everything. I don't see us being as aggressive as we were, Roach, in the 70s.
Yes.
60s and 70s of saying, no, you're not going to do this to us. I'm like Nikichi. I didn't know I was in the segregated city. That trussel you talked about out at Glen Echo, that was the Cabin John.
That's what it was called, Cabin John Streetcar.
That was Cabin John Streetcar.
Yes.
Went out there. And I tell you what, if you took the streetcar out there, the streetcar driver would ask you, where are you going and why?
Yes, right, before you got on.
My brother and I used to go for streetcar rides, take the bus pass, remember what that was, on Sundays, Ray and Roach, Martine. So one day we're going to go on the N2 bus. Why? Because we've never been that part of Washington. That's going out to American University Park. We saw beautiful trees, beautiful homes. And I never forget this white bus driver say, where are you N-word going? And why? Well, we just rode to the end of the line and rode back to see what that part of D.C. was like. I remember the first bus driver to be hired by Elroy Chalk. And it was a mistake. They thought he was white because he passed for white. That's going down memory lane. And another piece I want to say, Roach and Ray and Martine, we had communities, okay? I knew nothing about Race Boys community out there in Northeast because my mother didn't let us go out there. But then again, he didn't know anything about our community, Roach.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the Mecca. We were up on the U Street corridor. We didn't go to Georgetown, but they had their community. Leroy Park, we all had our own communities, which we took care of ourselves, our families. My mother could walk the streets late at night and no one would bother her. They'd say, oh, that's Chip and Kenny's mother. I don't see that now because we got what we wanted. We assimilated to the other culture. And now we're walking down the street where we used to live, wondering what happened. But what I see that's different, Roach, and I'll stop here, is we accept that. And we should not have to accept that.
Yeah.
Really?
I agree.
You know, good boy, Nikichi. You want to come in, Nikichi?
Yeah, well, I remember racism. And like you all said, we didn't know we were in racism because we were happy. We had happy lives and our families. And we went to school. That's when they told us we were poor and divided. But we didn't feel that way at all.
You know, this is interesting because one of the things that I love, is a Chinese laundry. There's a lot of things that's changed. You call Bruce Hunt, and there's all kinds of stores that was back in Washington back during that time, like Cavaliers and Raleigh Haberdashers, all them kind of folks. And we went to them kind of stores, going to them kind of places. Right now, when I walk through the streets, I feel so, I don't know how to describe it. You used to walk through the streets and back in our day, if you curse around somebody older than you, somebody on the corner say, shut up, don't you do that, or they'll kick you in your little tail and say, take it to your mother. You walk down the streets and guys cursing out their mothers, their grandmothers, You hear all kinds of profanity. Even little teeny kids are cursing at 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. And you didn't curse in front of your parents, so nowhere near in their presence. All these social things that we grew up in and are no longer there. We drive at night very seldom, and I see everybody crossing the street with black clothes on, dark clothes. Yeah. It's nighttime, and you got a dark dude crossing the street with all black on, and you can't even see him. They don't even look either way. Everybody walking, looking at their cell phone. Somebody could be getting ready to rob him or rig him or bust him in the head. Everybody's looking down, and nobody's looking up and not looking at each other or communicating with each other. It's like we're in individual silos everywhere we go.
They miss what we learned and was given as we grew up. And that was the closeness and love of the family that spread it throughout the community back during that time. It's a lot of things that are going on in this modern day that they don't even think of the word love or the community involvement. They out for some of them out for self and not for the community or fellowship of all. And like was mentioned, if you did certain things, it doesn't take the family member, but somebody outside the family said, Ray, I'ma tell your mother or daddy when
yes.
Get back on the block or back on where you live. And they was mentioned about how your conduct. See, and that's part of what we taught in school, huh? Citizen, being a good citizen and things of that nature, but it's not now. And because people don't take time out to teach that love.
There you go.
Very, very simple.
There you go. You know,
but Roach, you know something that Ray said, and you said it too.
Yeah.
And it's worth repeating. I was not Kenny Brown. I was Charlie Brown's son.
Yeah.
I was Dolores Brown's son. You didn't have an identity because you belonged to a family structure. And I could name everybody on our block. I cannot do that now. I had two people moved next door to me within the last year. I do not know their names. They don't even park out front. They park out back, so they don't have to deal with us. There's only 4 black families left on the block I live on now. So that whole community we had, it's not there. That's what I really miss, not seeing us act as a community.
Close. Yes.
Ayuki's ready to pitch now.
Okay. Come on.
Because we're talking about community. That's right.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Nkechi. Here's my opening. Absolutely. WPFW, Roach, Nkechi, and Martina are all about love and community. They are all about bringing us together, creating fellowship, informing us so that we know what the plight is of people who are returning citizens. So we know that these young kids are looking for jobs. All those things that are important to us. And it's really important to go back in memory lane so that we know what happened and we can study it and we cannot make the same mistakes that we made in the past. It's important that we grow and we learn from the past. And again, that we create community and love. And you can do that. Do as Nkechi has got us started here on Crossroads. Thank you so much for your very generous pledge. And we want to thank Anonymous in Washington, D.C., who gave us a very generous sustaining pledge. And again, I remind everybody, make WPFW your smallest bill. Promise us $10, $15, $20, $100 a month, whatever is comfortable for you. And that will ensure that we have a consistent income coming in on a weekly basis as opposed to waiting those 4 or 5 times a year when the season changes and we have these large drives. Please, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Or you can go to Cash App at WPFWFM, $ WPFWFM, or text 801-801 to text 801-801 WPFWFM. And of course, if you're listening online, just go to the Donate Now button and give, again, as generously as you can. Become a member of WPFW. Roach, Martine, and Nkechi only need $220 more. One person making a pledge of $20 or more will get us there. Roach deserves to be supported. The show deserves support. It is part of the community. It is part of love. And if you appreciate that, this is your opportunity to let them know, because radio, again, is two ways. Crossroads is a one-of-a-kind program dedicated to the voices and experiences of returning citizens, those re-entering society after incarceration. And yet he talks about subjects as he is today, just community love, the history of WPFW, real conversations and real impact. Crossroads doesn't just report on the issues. It provides resources, solutions, and voices directly from those who need to be heard. So please, if you value this, if you rely upon this, this is the last week of our spring drive. We kind of made them shorter. We listened to you all. You said we're having too many. But it's more critical than ever that since they're shorter, that each show makes its goal, and we don't have to extend or think about doing anything like that. So please, 202-588-9739.
Thank you, Nikki, Mayuki. This is your Black radio, where the drumbeat never lies. While politicians try to erase us from the books, WPFW is the living archives, a sanctuary for Black excellence, resistance, and truth. From D.C. to Burkina Faso, we hold a line against silence. Right now, 92% of our listeners aren't members. If even a fraction of us gave $10 a month, we could preserve this archives for the next generation. Governments fall. Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
We need more people like you, Nikisha, and your wife. I'll donate, what did she say, $220?
Yes.
You got it.
All right.
What was she putting up, 2,000, Kenny?
I thought she was something else.
You said 2,000, Kenny?
Roach, I have a photograph of you in my living room. 90-pound basketball team. Boys club.
That's right.
You were sitting in the middle, holding the ball.
Yeah.
It was because you could play. We knew we had to watch you because you get confused sometimes.
Yeah, right.
I said $200. So tell the young lady I will get that to her as soon as possible.
Okay? Thank you. And for our other listeners, we need your help, folks. As we said at the top of the show, the current administration is slashing budgets, programs, and cutting off jobs, agencies all over the country. And we are no different. We just received word that our funds were cut. Now, we've been thrown under the bus, but here we're asking you to make a donation to contribute to WPFW. Forget our situation. We are just in the same spot. This tells you what this station means. We've been coming for 17 years. We only missed 4 days in 17 years, and we don't get paid to get you to bring the information to you and keep it real, because on this station, there's no jiggy boogie. We try to keep it real and keep the public informed of what's going on, and you can call in and talk to us. Not only that, you can call and invite us. We go all around and give speeches all over the country to different schools, colleges, etc. So I guess we got to lean a little heavy on that right now due to taking our budget. But the bottom line is, you are important to us, our listeners. We bring you information from folks who are living in experience, who know it firsthand, who are experts or authorities in what they're doing. And the main thing is, they keep it real. We don't bring no jiggy boogie. If you find somebody on that show that's jiving, let us know. But we need your help to stay on the air. So please reach down in your pocket and do whatever you got to do. We need that. You can call 202-588-9739 or hit the Cash App at $WPFWFM. Don't let the drum go silent. Become a sustaining member today. We need your help to stay on the air. With all this repression, people, in fact, most of the blacks have been taken off TV in the evening. Joy Reid, all these folks. So your avenue now is WPFW, where you can get the real skinny, the real news, no jiggy boogie. So if you want us to stay on the air, we need you to support us to make sure that you keep WPFW going. All right, I want to throw it back to Nikisha.
Well, let me say something real quick, if I can, because today is May 13th, and I just want to say we're talking about going down memory lane. This might not have been in D.C., but on this day, May 13th, 1985, was the date of the infamous a MOVE bombing, when the bomb was dropped on a black neighborhood in Philadelphia. 11 people were killed, among them five children. You know, more than 60 homes in that neighborhood were destroyed. So we must not allow our history to be erased. This is May 13th, and in 1985, that this was the date of that bombing on the.
Well, I remember that, yeah. And I remember the mayor's name was Wilson Good.
Yeah,
it was a black man. He was the first time bombs was dropped in the neighborhood, in the community. And in fact, Kenekichi, a couple of people from that 85 situation are still incarcerated. Some of the MOVE members are still in. A few have been released.
I think they have finally been released. They, after long decades upon decades, they all have finally been released.
Oh, wow.
And what I must always be aware of is with all of this that is happening in our face, boldly in our face, we have to understand we have the power. As Black people, love and respect is how we're going to win, and we need to practice it a lot more, and we need to practice keeping our money in our pockets.
Great, Kenny. We got about 4 or 5 more minutes to go. I'm glad that Kenny Brown is joining us in Race Savoy, because we miss Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale and Steve Fitzboten, who was our regular panelists every 3-4 months. So, man, thank you all for coming on. And Kenny, before we get off of here, I'd like for you and Ray Savoy to give us a little thing of what do you see now coming up, and what's going on in the country right now? What do you see for us as a people with all this confusion coming from the White House?
I would say take that word confusion. We got to stop being confused.
Right.
Meet, just like you meet every week, we need to have small groups become large groups to pay attention to what's coming down the road, because it's not going to be pretty for the next 920 days. That's what I see needs to happen and take place. We have resources now we didn't have 20, 30, 40 years ago. We need to mobilize that and let people understand the things you talk about every week could happen to them, could happen to their children. Yes. I have fraternity brothers who have lost their job in the last 60 days. These guys are educated, qualified.
Yes.
Lost their job. Can't educate their children now. They never thought it would happen to them. But when we were calling out to people now, you better wake up, folks. It's going to happen.
And then Mayuki's going to pitch again.
Yeah.
258-9739, 1-800-222-9739. A terrific conversation. I hate to keep coming on it, but we're so, so close, folks. We want to thank Beverly from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for your generous pledge. Folks, we only need to get about $120. So one person making that pledge of $10 a month.
There you go. Come on, $10 a month. We got to meet our goal. Come on, help us. Keep us on the air, people. We need to stay here.
Because
we don't get the real deal from anywhere else.
Because you want to keep Roach, Martine, Nekichi here on the air, remembering Dr. Sandra Truesdale, working with Kenny and Ray. This is a very special programming. This is the griot. This is the voice of Washington, D.C., the history, and we're teaching it to the future. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. This is the... you can also go to the website at wpfwfm.org and go to the Donate Now button. Again, a sustainer is a person who promises a specific amount on a monthly basis, whatever you feel most comfortable with. It's your smallest bill, whatever you can do and sacrifice or promise WPFW. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. We are here only through your generosity. Roach is an incredible host. He does incredible work. Nekichi, Martine are the same. They do impressive work. They bring us information that we can really use. And the support is really critical. Again, you all know this is WPFW's independent media, meaning Crossroads stays unfiltered and uncompromised by corporate influence. Contributions keep Crossroads on the air, keeping information advocacy for those who need it the most. We need the voice of Roach Brown. We need the voice of Martine Brown. We need the voice of Nekichi, the voice of Ray, and the voice of Kenny. All these voices are really integral part of, again, our community professing and giving and being loved.
202-588-9739. We're out of time.
We
got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Keep it brief. We got a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say peace and blessings to
all of you on the line, my brother Kenny Brown and Roach Brown. Remember, the Lord is our light.
Yes.
He's our light. And in the Bible, there is a parable that says you reap what you sow.
One at a time, eh?
That's right.
You reap what you sow.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our guest has been Ray Savoy, master golf teacher at Langston Golf Course, and of course, fifth generation Washingtonian, and Kenny Brown, a neighborhood friend. We grew up one of my best friends for over 70 years. Thank you both for joining us. And I know Dr. Truesdale and Steve Fussbowden will be proud of you two for carrying on the tradition in which they have started here at the station. So keep in mind, folks, let's be real. Telling the truth costs money. I'm going to repeat that. Let's be real. Telling the truth costs money. And we need your help to stay on the air. And once we keep this on the air, we got to figure out how me and Mertine going to stay on the air and our thing. But don't worry about that. We can take care of this. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. We're going down, the topic was going down memory lane. And this has been Crossroads. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
202-588-9739. Still need 120. Still looking for that 120. Please go to the phones and give WPFW $10 a month. Support Roach, Mertine, Nikichi. 202-588-9739. We're waiting for you. A mother's love is so
special. The WPFW local station board will host a town hall meeting on Saturday, May 17th, from noon to 2:30 p.m. at the New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Our theme is WPFW, Still We Rise. Featured speakers include representatives from station management, the Pacifica National Board, our programmers, and LSB volunteers. Listeners are invited to learn about new initiatives, finances, our search for a new home, and more celebrations as we continue in our 48th year of operation. If you cannot attend in person, you can tune in via Zoom. Details will be posted soon on the WPFW website. Through turbulence, transitions, and triumphs, still we rise as a community-powered radio station uplifting peace, justice, cultural expression, and the music that moves us. We look forward to adding your voice to WPFW for the unheard, as a rhythm for the people, and a light in times of darkness.
This is Rita Burns.
And this is Mason Burns. It is happening again. A celebration of my dad's legacy. The Capitol House Music Festival salutes
Sam the Man Burns. A full day of DJs and performers, including the vocalist and house music icon, Julie McKnight. A full day of joy.
Saturday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Aletheia Tanner Park.
This is an official Black Pride and World Pride event, and this event is for everyone. For more information, caphousefest.com. WPFW is proud to be a media sponsor, building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Don't let that bus flash your eye.
To get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Malcolm Lives,
an event of spoken word commemorating Malcolm X's 100th birthday and paying tribute to the last poets, happening Wednesday, May 14th at the Black Cat, 1811 14th Street Northwest. That's 1811 14th Street Northwest. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Details including performing lineup at blackcatdc.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
We close our spring pledge drive on May 19th, 8 a.m. until midnight, with Black Shining Prince, Malcolm X at 100, celebrating and unpacking the life and legacy of one of the most brilliant and charismatic intellectuals and pan-Africanists of the 20th century. The title is a reference to Ossie Davis's eulogy of Malcolm X, where he referred to him as our own Black Shining Prince. The teachings, speeches, and writings of El Hajj Malik El-Shabazz continue to guide millions around the world.